Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The world wants peace and protection. Having completed their obligation to help their brothers conquer Canaan, Joshua sent Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh home with all of the blessings of warfare to be reunited with their own families. Just before they crossed the Jordan, they build a large monument as a memorial to God's faithfulness and their unity with their brothers across the river. Unfortunately, an inaccurate rumor almost started a civil war. Please open your Bible to Joshua 22 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this chapter.
We are in Joshua chapter 22, if you're following with us. Joshua chapter 22, actually, you could divide it up into two separate messages. We're not going to do it, but verses 1 through 9 would be the blessings of obedience. And then verses 22 through 34 would be what I would call the biblical way of dealing with rumors or gossip. But that doesn't happen with us, so we don't have to deal with it. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites were camped by the Jordan River, and they're now ready to enter into the land that God had promised to them. They had defeated their enemies. God had given them rest. We learned that the 9.5 tribes of Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh had chosen to remain on the east side of the Jordan because the land seemed to be much more suitable for raising their livestock. And Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave them the permission to do so, but with one stipulation. They were to join their brothers, the other 9.5 tribes, in warfare until they were prepared to enter into their rest. Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh agreed, and they fought with their brethren for 9.5 tribes for approximately 7 years. And that's what brings us to chapter 22. Verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." And as we will see, this is a reference to the men of war. They had left their homes on the east side of the Jordan to assist their brethren in the conquest of Canaan. There were approximately 40,000 of them. And for 7 years, they lived apart from their families, apart from the comforts of home, to keep their word, to fight for their brothers on the west side of the Jordan until God gave them rest. I think each and every one of us, by God's grace, should endeavor to do whatever we can to prayerfully and practically help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they are in a battle. You notice that God says of these 2.5 tribes that they were men that were obedient. They kept the commandments that God had given unto them. A faithful Christian is going to be, generally speaking, an obedient Christian. Joseph Benson, one of the Puritans, wrote, "Though their affections to their families could not but make them very desirous to return, like good soldiers, they would not move till they had orders from their general. So, though we desire to be at home with Christ ever so much, yet we must stay here till our warfare is accomplished, wait for a due discharge, and not anticipate the time of our removal." And so, in verse 4, we read, "And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed," notice, Here's the exhortation. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, to serve him with all your heart. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why do I read my Bible? Is it just for advice? Or is it for direction? Is it just to read the portions that you like, and if you disagree with God, then you're going to do whatever you want to do? Then that just proves that it's not the Bible you believe, but you. The exhortation that was given to these tribes are New Testament exhortations. We are to love the Lord of our God, are we not? We are to walk in all his ways. We are to keep his commandments. We are to cleave to him. And we are to serve him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And here Joshua briefly restated the central message that God gave the people in Deuteronomy. Obedience to God should always be motivated by a love for God. When we come to the saving knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we understand in our hearts his love for us on Calvary, we will want to love him. We will want to serve him. And we will want to serve him joyfully. Serving the Lord for the child of God should be a delight. Not a duty. Not something you check off on your weekly things to do list. It should be a blessing, not a burden. Jesus told the disciples, if you want to be great in my kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. And Jesus was an example, our example, of how to serve our Father like he served his Father. He didn't do it out of duty. He did it out of love. The true greatness and glory and blessedness of any community of people who are devoted to Jesus consists in our loving the Lord, loving one another, observing his ordinances, and walking in his ways. In fact, verse 5 is a great thing for you to pray for your personal life, your family, and for our church family. What a verse to pray. That God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, would cause us to observe his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave to him, and to serve him enthusiastically with all of our heart and all of our soul. But note the word diligence. That means being steady. That means persevering. That means with all of our heart. That means with a single eye. In other words, obeying the Lord is something that is intentional. We must be diligent. And listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the heart is where we must seek the Lord, follow the Lord from. And that's why in Proverbs 4:23 we read, keep thy heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so Joshua blessed them in verse 6 and sent them away, and they went into their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. Bashan was in the north part of the country, possessed by the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan. But unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And so Here is the recognition of the land that now they were about to possess, that it was according to the Lord by the hand of Moses. And then in verse 10, verses 1 through 9, the blessings of obedience. Verses 10 through 34, the biblical way of dealing with a rumor. And when they came to the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. The word that is translated altar in these verses should have been translated a monument or a memorial. So when the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were given the green light to go to their homeland, they would start walking towards the east side of the Jordan, and they built there a memorial for a testimony to God for all that he had done for them. No doubt as they're making their way towards the Jordan, they would have passed by the conquered cities of Jericho and Ai. And no doubt they're meditating on how God had led them and been faithful to them in their wilderness journey. But look at verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, probably on Facebook, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. I don't know about you, but there is nothing new under the sun. As we will see in verses 27 and 28, this altar was not built by these tribes to set up another place for worship, another place for sacrifice. It was not built as an alternative site for the sake of sacrifice for the worship of Jehovah. It was actually built as a memorial, a symbol of solidarity that they had with their brothers on the other side of the Jordan. But notice what we read here in verse 10 and 11. Based on a rumor, the children of Israel heard say that the tribes on the west side of Jordan, they assumed, based on a rumor, they assumed that this altar was either an act of idolatry or a site to worship another god. They just assumed the worst. Now, you never do that, do you? Maybe you do. Now, this story turns out good. Whenever you deal with a rumor or gossip in a biblical way, usually there's a good outcome. But let's just say that they had not gotten the full story. If they didn't, a civil war between the tribes and the two sides of the river would have broken out. One pastor said this, quote, how many wars that have broken out among God's people could have been avoided if after we heard a rumor about someone, we had gone to the other person and gathered all of the facts about the situation first. How many of you agree? How many of you do that? Beloved, a fact is not always the full truth. In this case, there was an altar built. That's a fact. But that wasn't the full truth. Any gossip or slander or backbiting in the church may or may not contain some facts. But until you hear the other side of the story, it's not the full truth. Listen to this other pastor. This is not me. This is another one. What peril lies in the incompatibility of Christian with Christian? How easily misunderstandings occur, and with what damaging results? How rapidly they spread, and the farther they go, the worse they get, until often an evangelical church is completely ruined by this very sin. Why is it we are all so ready to listen to gossip? Why is it that we are so quick to impute the worst motive to other people? Why do we believe so quickly a rumor concerning another person's character and then repeat it with a hundredfold exaggeration? I can sadly say, and I do mean this, I can sadly say, and with a heavy heart, that after 38 years of pastoring what I consider to be a great body of believers, that the devil has used evil speaking, gossiping, slander, and backbiting Christians to infect and divide more churches and destroy more lives and more ministries than drugs, alcohol, and sexual sin combined. God calls those who bear false witness, who sow division and discord, in Proverbs chapter 6, an abomination. He hates it. Do we? And so, verse 12, when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh. Shiloh was the location of the tabernacle, the only legitimate place for worship. Gather them together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And so the western tribes, beloved, assumed that this altar that was erected was in violation of the law of the central sanctuary according to the law of Moses. Agape is not suspicious. Agape does not think the worst of others. And again, please note here, beloved, that the tribes on the west side of the Jordan River are acting on hearsay, not all the facts. Now, to their credit, they're going to go get all the facts. But that's not always the way it's handled within the church. When they heard that the tribes on the other side of the Jordan had built this altar, instead of investigating the matter first, they assumed the worst and were prepared to go to war against them. Hearsay, rumors, two of the things that the devil uses to divide the people of God and sow discord. The godly way of putting out the fires of rumors and gossip and backbiting is to go to the source. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." Beloved, making a decision about someone or something without learning the whole story always leads to folly and shame and division. I suggest that when someone comes to you and says something like, "Did you know what Pastor Ray or brother or sister so-and-so did?" that immediately you reply and say, "Well, let's call Pastor Ray. Let's call brother or sister so-and-so. Let's get them over here and let's talk about it. Let's get the whole story." That's the right way to do it. That's the biblical way to do it. But unfortunately, that's not the way rumors are handled within the body of Christ. And so, picking up the dialogue, verse 13. "The children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas." Remember Phinehas from Numbers chapter 25? He's got the spear in his hand. No nonsense, Phinehas. "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was a head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. Now, that's a good thing. They're going to them. But listen to what they say. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have builded an altar that you may rebel this day against the Lord? So they're going to go to them, but they've already concluded that they're guilty. Have you ever done that? Wow. None of you. Oh, Lord, these people are beautiful. You've never listened to rumors, listened to gossip, listened to backbiting, listened to half stories, read something on Facebook, and said, you know, maybe that's not the whole truth. They go to them, that's the right thing, but they've gone to them, they've already made up their mind. They've already concluded that they are guilty of sinning against God before hearing the whole story. I'm so glad that that never happens in our church. Well, it happens. And I meet with many of my colleagues, and it happens. And it's grievous. It's heartbreaking. Gossip, slander, evil speaking are the fiery tongues described in James 3 that I call the devil's Pentecost. And so they've already concluded they're guilty. And they say to them, kind of insultingly, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague of the congregation of the Lord, but that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it will be seen you rebel today against the Lord. Tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the Lord of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein is the Lord's tabernacle, where it dwells, and take possession among us, but don't rebel against the Lord. Don't rebel against us. Don't build an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. In other words, if the land you're in is unclean, if you 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the river have found out that the land is unclean, don't build a counterfeit altar. Don't build another altar for religious worship. Just come back home and we will divide up the land among us. And then they say in verse 20, did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? You see what's going on here in verses 13 through 20? I hope you do. I hope I do. I hope we do. Before hearing what their brother's explanation was for the building of the altar, these tribes have already concluded that what their brethren did was an act of rebellion and an act of sin that would bring God's wrath upon the entire congregation, as it was in the case of Peor and Achan. Shameful acts that affected the whole body. In other words, they did not want to see the wrath of God fall down upon the nation. So if the eastern tribes were guilty of violating God's commandment, they're ready to step in and deal with it. And if they were in violation of God's commandment, they should step in and they should deal with it. Because the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and it needs to be purged. But it turns out that the tribes on the east side of the river bore false witness in accusing their brothers of rebelling against the Lord when that was the farthest thing from the truth. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.